not that. Okay, should we carry on then?
Yeah.
All right. Alan, I want to speak to you about that spine, and about your preparation for the race, all the things around it, really.
Sure.
So, first of all, why the spine?
I originally heard about the race in 2013 from a competitor who had did the original, one of the original five who'd finished it. So in 2014, I did the Challenger. I was so underprepared and I shouldn't have even finished. I did, but I was completely, I just winged the whole thing. And I was completely mentally and physically broken just from the Challenger. To the point is, when I finished, I drove up after the race to my mum and dad's, and I was in bed for 3 days at my parents'. Didn't move, just didn't get out of bed. I was just couldn't do anything. I just,
what did you learn then from
that? I mean, physically I wasn't strong enough, and I wasn't prepared, and I just didn't.
Sorry, are you sitting for food as well, or is it just drinks for you?
Just drinks, cheers. I wasn't prepared at all. I didn't understand. I thought it would be like a long ultra, and it's much more than that. The navigation, the terrain is rough. It was just way above my experience. So
what have your preparation been like for it?
Well, I did. I had a better idea for 2015, and I completed the winter one then. Again, it was, we got through it just, but we got through it. But the rules were slightly different in those days. You didn't need GPS. And I'd been using my phone, which was pointless, useless. And I eventually met up another competitor, and we just buddied up the whole way, up until 2 on the Cheviots. We had to leave him because he physically wasn't capable of getting down himself. So I finished on my own. And then 2016, I volunteered, thoroughly enjoyed it. 2017, I made an absolute mess of the race, and I got timed out. Within about 70 miles.
So not far at all then, really?
No, not at all. But what up through that is I volunteered for the rest of the race. Then I got a free place for 2018. And 2018, I was doing all right. And then I left Middleton and Teesdale. And the weather was closing in, so we got driven back to the checkpoint. So, and I reckon it was about 7 miles we were outside the checkpoint. And we got taken back south to Middleton. We were kept in for 12 hours, but made to start from where we were, not from where we had been. So I was at a disadvantage. So ploughed on, got to Dufton, and there I decided to pull out. Unknown to me, I had a time credit, of which I didn't know about until I was driven up to Alston, which was the next checkpoint. And
so you couldn't change your mind at that point?
No. And Scott, who's the race director, came up and apologised and explained what happened. A marshal had made this decision without referring back to headquarters. So, no, it wasn't bitter or anything. It was one of these things. But he gave me half price for the summer in 2018, which was a really good learning curve because I could see the course in more daylight, basically. Because also when you're running the spine, it's mostly dark. And raining or snow or whatever. So it gave me a really good insight to what the bits I wasn't sure about for navigation.
Okay, so what do you think the main points to preparing for the spine are for you?
It's really difficult because there's so many different things. I mean, everybody's going to make mistakes. And it just depends on how bad those mistakes are, whether it's going to cost you the race, or finishing. I still made a few mistakes this year. But you've got to be on the ball with navigation. You think it's a national trail, which it is, it's one of the oldest ones, but it's not marked. It's very poorly marked, if at all. And there's some sections are massively eroded with a sheer number of people, and there's tracks coming from every direction. So even in well-used sections, you still need to nav on it. And other bits, it's like a secret. You've got to find a gap in a wall, and it's just literally a couple of stones missing, and that is the way over. It's bizarre. Yeah, even some of the signs for Pennine Way, they're all wooden, but all of them are covered in lichen and moss. There's also the Pennine Bridleway and the Pennine Oh, there's another one who says Pennine. So there's three actual trails saying Pennine, and they're trying to decipher those signs if you see one. Pennine Journey is the third one. So they're all different routes. So you've got to really be on the ball if you don't, because you maybe just see the sign that says Pennine, but is it the correct one? So anyway, back to your question. It's really getting on key with your kit, making sure everything works, food, trying to plan, sleep if you can, navigation, and obviously having the fitness and stamina to keep ploughing on.
So with regards to sleeping, how
are
you sleeping?
I had a very slow race this year, so I was chasing the cutoffs most of the time. So I reckon I had maybe 2 or 3 hours at most, if that, for the whole race. I didn't have the opportunity and I didn't have the time to sleep.
Is that something you prepared for beforehand?
I'm just through my experience for the last few years, I can go a long time without sleeping now. I've done quite a lot of long multi-day stuff now, and that I'll. Especially in the summer, I won't sleep. I'll just keep ploughing on. Yeah. So I know I can go 3-4 days without sleep now. I know I can do that. But it does affect you.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mentally. And it makes simple tasks very difficult. But yeah, I have experience. I've certainly got more experience than most people now for not sleeping.
Yeah.
And it does help.
So, with regards to food then, what are you eating?
I carry dry rations because you have to carry at least 3,000 calories. So I had some meal pouches, which I didn't really want to use. I'm keeping them for emergency use. Just some snacky stuff, sweets, bit of chocolate, bit of cheese. I had some hot cross buns, which I'd put a lot of butter inside them. Carry them, but at checkpoints, which is roughly every 50 miles, I ate as much as I could. When I went in and before I came out, I tried to stock up as much as I could on that way. So the meals are better than they used to be. So you get a main course and possibly a pudding if you're lucky.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, just hammering the stuff down. And if there's any butter about on bread or toast, it was like lashing that on and chucking that on as much as I could. Just going to get as many calories as I could in.
So, in terms of your mental preparation for the race, I know people I've spoken to about the spine have said that it's just pushing past that pain barrier,
yeah. Really,
but not necessarily dealing with it. It's not necessarily sort of coping with pain, it's more dealing with it and carrying on. So
yeah.
How did you sort of...
I was looking forward to the race because it's been a couple of years since I've tried it, so I was initially looking forward to it, and then the panic set in, and it got pretty bad the night before the race. I was in a complete mess. I couldn't do simple things because I had to repack all my kit after kit inspection. I couldn't concentrate at all, and I was really worried about it because I knew what was ahead. I think it's almost an advantage sometimes if you don't know what's coming up. But I knew that we had difficulties before, and I knew some really horrible sections. And I knew, you know, once you get the nice sections, you know there's some really terrible sections coming up. And I wasn't really looking forward to that at all. So I've spoken to a few people about the race, and basically a lot of people, once they've done it once, won't go back to it because they know what it's like. So... yeah, I was quite apprehensive about it. I think I was organised kit-wise and better kit, better pack. I could use my GPS easily, which had let me down before, but I was still very, very apprehensive for the terrain, the weather, and all the things that can hamper you.
So there must have been a point, though, during the race where you're just thinking, I've had enough of this, I can't carry on. How do you deal with that situation?
It was really the last night. I got to the hut one on the Cheviots, and I was felt happy. I was spotting my nav. Between hut one and hut two, the wheels fell off. It was just tiredness, I think. I was getting disorientated. I thought I was going around in circles. I met up with a French guy, and we just ploughed on as best we could. And then I met somebody who said to follow a fence line. I did. I followed the wrong fence line, which took me in the wrong direction. I was heading downhill and south. Luckily, I got a phone call to stop and turn around, and I did, and I met up with about three or four people. Eventually we became a small group with a couple of marshals, but at that point I didn't care. I had enough, and I thought it was a dream. I really didn't care at that point. Because it was a dream, I didn't think it was real. I just wanted to sit down. I wanted to stop. I had no interest in finishing at that point. But they pushed us and pushed us and pushed us. But yeah, I was all over the place mentally. I had no idea where I was. I thought I was actually going underneath bridges all the time. So I was crouching and bending down to go into these non-existent bridges. And it wasn't until literally the last mile that I knew I was on the finishing. It was actually on a bit of tar road into Kirkyetum. And from there on, I was fine. But when I got back, a couple of days later, I downloaded the GPX route from my tracker, and I was spot on with route. I mean, I thought I was coming into Kirkyetum from a bizarre, some weird way, and it wasn't. It was the way I've finished before. It was on trail all the way, but I just had no idea where I was, what I was doing, and it was just the tiredness. It just got to me. Yeah. So
how was the finish for you then?
Yeah, it's always a bit of an anticlimax in a way, because you get down. It was actually nice this year because there was quite a few people at the finish. When I finished in 2015, there was like two marshals, and it was just touched the wall, jumped in a car, taken to the village hall and kicked out, and that was it. This time there was a bit more, there was some press, and there's certainly a lot more supporters. So it felt more of an event, yeah. More of a finish. And it was great. Once I finished, we went into the hotel and got looked after, helped take all my clothes off, got my feet into hot water. It was nice. It felt really good. But yeah, I just wanted to get all my kit off and sit down, you know, because I was well wrapped up, and I just wanted to get all that gear off. And at that point,
the level of support in the sponsor is essential
for
that longer race.
Yeah, there's really good support now. Marshals, all the volunteers, it's fantastic.
I think it's interesting as well that you've been supported throughout Britain, really, because everyone's watching it on the internet, on the tracking.
Yeah. It certainly is. It's, you don't think of it at the time, but I'm not aware of it. But yeah, you know, when you see Facebook when they finish the race, because I don't look at any social media when I'm running, but when you look at it, the amount of hits and thousands of people are watching it.
It's unbelievable support, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. It's certainly, a lot of people like watching race trackers now, so it's good.
So do you think you're going for the summer spine then?
Well, I did it a couple of years ago. I certainly wouldn't do it this year, but I enjoyed it. It's good for learning the route, but it's still hard because you're still doing the same terrain and the same climbs. It's just the weather's better, or can be better. When I did it in 18, it was absolutely roasting. About the 2017 summer spine, people were getting hypothermia and dropping out. So it's really very weather dependent. But it's still a hard one. I'm not desperate to do the summer one. I always think it's a bit of a cop out. Although it's not, but it does feel like a cop out.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it as well.
Yeah, it's like Britain's most brutal race, but you can get cups of tea and sit outside Wisconsin at some of the cafes, which isn't really what you think of having ice creams and stuff. Yeah, it's more of the pushing through the winter and the crap weather.
Suffering, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all right. It's just the degrees of suffering, yes.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think your next challenge is then?
Oh, gosh, I've got a few this year. But there's nothing crazy this year. I've got Race Across Scotland in the summer.
Okay.
I got a free place from Marston a couple of years ago. So that's in August. And I've got a Coast to Coast one in September. Down in England, which I'll be quite looking forward to. It starts at Whitehaven over to Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
That's in September.
It's a long way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, but the pace on that one's going to have to be quick. It's 30 hours, I think, for 160 miles, so I'm going to have to push on for that one. But there's plenty out there. There's no shortage of races. It's just money and time.
That's it, isn't it?
So, yeah.
As an interest, what sort of kit are you using
in these events? I've changed my pack. I was, for a couple of the spines, I use an Innovate pack, with a cobbled together Raid Light front pouch, and it didn't really work. Well, it didn't work at all. It was particularly uncomfortable. But looking at some of the runners a couple of years ago, I bought a Raid Light pack, 20 litre with a front pouch, and that was, I've used that a lot in the last year or so, and it's superbly comfortable. So I have no aches or pains, and I have no problem carrying the full required kit at all. It's a great pack. I certainly recommend it. Clothing-wise for this year, though, I changed everything. I usually went conventional with, you know, layers and a waterproof Gore-Tex jacket and trousers. But for this year, I'm looking at other runners, successful runners. Went for Buffalo. Which,
the original sort of fleece one.
The proper Buffalo, the heavy stuff.
It
works. So it's great because I wasn't cold, and it breathes. And it's, and I know it's a bizarre feeling when you get the feel the rain eventually coming through, but you keep warm. So I certainly recommend that. I've had the top for a couple of years, but I hadn't used had the trousers. I was checking. The Buffalo kit was recommended too. I've seen other runners do it, so right, I purchased the full kit. And unfortunately, you still have to carry full waterproofs just for kit requirements. Yeah. But I didn't use them at all. It was just extra, it's dead weight, but I still prefer wearing the Buffalo. I was warm and felt really comfortable with it.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Mm-hmm.
Those salopettes are really, really chunky, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I had the salopettes, and I also had the trousers, and the salopettes were thinner, so I ended up ditching them and putting on the trousers, which were heavier, and I was fine. It wasn't a problem.
So what sort of shoes were you wearing then?
Scots. I like them. I've used, I'm on my 8th or 9th pair now, Scott Kimberlow Super Treks, and just now I can get them for about £40 a pair. But I've done a lot of miles in them. They're trail shoes, but they're very comfortable. Quite a soft sole, quite forgiving, but I find them incredibly comfortable. And I had no foot issues at all. So, yeah, which is one of the few. Because normally at checkpoints, there's a queue for medics for feet treatment, and I've never had any problems with my feet.
So are you taping your feet up before?
No, I've never taped my feet. A wee bit of Sudocreme. I used waterproof socks, sealskins or Drymax, I think they were. Yeah, Drymax socks with wool socks liners, and not a problem. And my feet were swollen, very swollen towards the end, but I had no problems getting my shoes on. And not a blister, nothing.
So you won't go for a bigger set of shoes, will you?
No. I can get away with it now. You know, I know how big my feet will go. So my Scott shoes are maybe a half a size too big anyway. But there's enough room in there for the socks, the sealskins and stuff, and to leave my feet as well.
So are you wearing a pair of sealskin socks with the socks over the top of them?
I put wool socks on, then the sealskins on.
Okay.
Yeah, and perfectly dry feet throughout the race. And to be honest with you, I only used two pairs of socks for the whole race. I just kept reusing what I had on because they were fine. And I thought there was no point opening another packet. I just keep wearing what I'm wearing.
So,
yeah, it was fine. Yeah, it worked. So I was quite happy with them. Yeah.
We can go at this now.
Okay.
Should we leave it there for time being?
Yeah.